I'm impressed.
I think we're live now.
Oh, that's good.
So,
woohoo!
Yay! Sarah, you go.
Not it. I already won that one. All right, fine. Welcome everyone to the Renegade Society Radio Show. I am Sarah Erickson. We are here with Danny Lowe and Scott Gaeta and designer of Heroes of the Grid board game, Jonathan Yeen.
Hi, everyone.
Yay.
So that might have been the best introduction ever, except for the part at the beginning where the two of you were arguing about who was going to be the introduction. So I still win when I said this is going to be a disaster.
You're right.
Yep. Are we live?
Are live. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Renegade Radio tradition that the introduction always be fouled up.
Of course. How could you do it otherwise? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yep.
Nice.
Well, that's a treat.
It is a treat. Oh, we are like $600 away from the next stretch call on the Kickstarter.
Oh, that's like, yay.
All right. If we get to the next goal, you guys will have to talk and not me because I'm going to go update the page. Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
It's planned.
Yeah. So what are we talking about tonight?
Danny, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the Kickstarter and answering questions in chat. If any of you have burning questions, let us know. And about Ranger Stop, our new convention that we signed on.
Oh, tell us about Ranger Stop. What's that all about?
So Ranger Stop is similar to Paramorphicon, which we were just at a couple weeks ago. It's a Power Rangers convention in Orlando, Florida. It takes place November 9th through 11th.
I have it right in front of me, so I'm double checking your facts.
No, you need to fact check me. I got the facts.
Mm-hmm. He made the facts.
Literally my job to know the facts.
Where is it in Universal? Now I'm going to quiz you.
Where in Universal?
Where in Orlando?
Go.
Across from Universal.
That seems like
which
above that one.
Which what?
Hotel.
Hampton Inn.
Which hotel?
Holiday Inn. Holiday
Damn it, wrong. Wrong.
I win again. Okay, that's good. Yeah, there's lots of people here. It's like tons of guests.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of cool people.
Yeah.
I imagine it's all the people on the East Coast who didn't want to like head all the way out to Paramorphicon.
No. I definitely see some cast members that I recognize from being in Anaheim. Mm. So yeah, no, I think it's gonna be fun, and we're gonna have the game right, and we're gonna demo it.
Yeah, so we'll have four tables set up the whole weekend, just playing Heroes of the Grid the whole time. Jonathan won't be there, but Scott and I will be there with a couple awesome demo people. So
nice.
And the game has changed since Paramorphicon. So if you were in California last weekend, you should try to come out because we have tweaked things and improved the game.
It was really helpful to get to play with people at Paramorphicon and see how they interacted with the game. I think that we got some really good feedback and good improvements from that.
Yeah, for sure. No, we've been playtesting the last week. It's been fun.
Yeah.
We will continue to playtest for, oh God.
That's right.
Not very much longer.
It's fine, Jonathan. We'll be finished.
Eventually.
5 or 6 years from now. Well, this will be finished very soon, but yeah, we've got so much more to work on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's always like I'm always excited because, you know, as the longer you work on a game, the more we can improve the craft of it. Like Imperial Assault was like good in the kickoff, but the later expansions really, really do great. So the more support we can give this game, I'm super excited for how it'll turn out. And
we have our idea spreadsheet. We've started and so wait, so everybody knows we have one tab that's just ideas, and then the other tab is actually once we decide to make it a thing. And I think we have several years worth of things mapped out. There, you know, we have a grid, and we're gonna start filling that grid in with
heroes,
with stuff.
Yeah, but don't worry, it's not shattered.
It's not shattered. Not yet.
Yeah. So, Scott, do you want to talk about the survey that we're doing?
I guess. Okay. So we've been getting lots and lots of feedback, and that's great. And we've been telling people, I think I talked about this on the panel at Power Morphicon, that we will take feedback from the fan base and make what they want. So what we're going to do is we just got approval on our list and the details for this is after the Kickstarter campaign is over and the pledge manager has been up for a while. We're not sure the exact timing. It'll probably be about 30 days after the campaign ends. Anybody that's backed the campaign at the first tier level all the way up to Morphin Master. So as long as you bought into the game and you've ordered a game and you finished your pledge manager survey and all that, you will have access to a survey where you get to pick the next Power Rangers team that we put into the game. And we're going to do that survey. It's going to be totally fan's choice. We got an approved list of teams. You're going to pick which team, whatever team our backers pick. That we're going to make that team, hopefully, and it'll be out next year will be the plan. I can't promise you dates, but the plan will be that that will go right to the top of the list, and we will just start working on that team and make that team. So all of our backers right now, close to about 2,000. Yeah, we're 1,993. Oh, we're at 1993.
That's the year it started. No.
Yeah. 92, I think, premiered. But so those thousands of people will get to tell us pick which Ranger team they want us to make, and then they're going to get that Ranger team in the game pretty shortly after the survey is closed. And that's only for people that back the game and come in. So there you go. You guys will get to pick the team.
Yay. That's awesome.
Or somebody said you should tease one of the teams that's on the survey list. Let me see. Maybe before the end, I'll tease one of the teams that's on the list.
Is there a team that's not on the list?
Yeah, the list is pretty long.
The list is long, true. For sure. Yeah, I wouldn't say this is a short list. But, you know, I can give you a definite, but we can continue. I'll come back.
Yeah.
I want to look at my list just in case I throw something crazy out there.
I mean, like, if you've been the real question is on the Kickstarter page, you know what's on the list already.
That's true. Though this list is you are picking your favorite hero team. So, and then we also have a couple other questions on the survey about villains, but we won't go into that now. You're going to get to pick a Ranger team. What more do you need to know? That's pretty cool.
I mean, which Ranger team would we pick? That's the real question.
Ooh.
How are our votes?
That's harder.
That's
a hard question, Jeff.
All of the teams? Kind of want to do them all.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take a while, but that's okay.
I'm always working towards the coolest suits. Like,
you like the samurai.
I love the samurai armors.
I'm with you there.
I love the new Beast Morphers suits. I think they're super cool.
Yeah. Dino Thunder had some cool suits. I mean, I tend to like the animal-themed ones. Like, there have been a couple that are cars, and those are cool, but, like, I don't know. I'm partial to the... There's something very iconic about having the giant animal heads designed into the helmets. Hyperforce did some really cool ones for their designs too, which I liked.
Oh yeah, I love their yellow ranger with the ram.
Yeah, with the ram horns.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the animal ones are pretty sweet. Though I'm kind of with you on the samurai ones. I think those are awesome.
Yeah.
But
too many good ones. That's why you guys have to pick, because if it were just us, we would be talking about this forever.
Chat's blowing up a little bit. They've got lots of questions.
Should we answer some questions?
Sure.
Oh.
All right.
I don't think I can see it.
You can't see it through the Hangout thing. You have to actually have the YouTube thing scrolling. Don't worry. We'll feed you questions. It's all good.
All right.
We'll take care of you. You just sit back, open wide.
All right. So I'm just going to start from the top. Mr. Mike wants to know if the models are on sprues or if they're already taken off.
No, they are not on sprues. They will come 99.9% assembled. Pretty much all the figures, the base figures, are assembled. Megazord, you might have to put together a couple pieces because he's ginormous.
Yeah, it should just be like slot in, right? You don't want to need glue, I don't think.
No, for Megazord, TBD. You might. I don't know if they'll click, like that sort of thing. You still might want to dab a piece of glue on there to hold them on because they are plastic.
It's a bit of an engineering project, but we'll make sure that we give you recommendations for things like the right type of plastic glue to use and that type of thing.
No, and right now he's the only figure that even is in that boat. Everybody else is just already assembled. They'll come in a tray. I think I posted this on the comments today. I was answering some questions. The trays will be these really cool vacuform trays that each well that the miniature goes into is made to fit that specific miniature. So it holds it perfectly, and then it'll have a clear top that goes over it to keep it all, you know, compact in place. And then a set of trays will go into a box, and then that box goes into the fancy box. So
it's Christmas each time you play.
It is Christmas. So there you go. So no sprues. We're not that type of game.
All right. Next question. Eric Rhodes. Will Red Dragon Shield Ranger have his own cards for his own deck so Green Ranger can join alongside him?
Yes, he will. That was the cards that were put into the update earlier were using an older version of the characters that we had put together. So the actual final version, yes, the Red Ranger will have his own cards. They'll be able to play together, even though, like, you know, there is only one Dragon Shield canonically. That's, you know, we've got interdimensional shenanigans going on. I, like many people, am hoping we might eventually do that dream team of all Rangers in the Dragon who have Dragon Shields just kicking ass.
Or an entire team of Tommies fighting some other Tommies.
Yo, I mean, the 25th anniversary episode, there's a Tommy of evil Tommies. We have a Tommy minion.
Yeah, exactly.
Do a whole pack of Tommies.
Yeah. He was a robot clone, right?
Yeah, it was, yes. I think he was a robot at the end of the day, but they called them clones, so right. It could be both.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we get all of the questions about if we're going to do X, Y, and Z character done with? What is the answer?
Okay, the answer is they're all possible in the future, but we don't have exactly every character mapped out for after the Kickstarter campaign. We have some that are kind of nailed down, and we have others that are a little bit more fluid, and then we're doing that survey. So every single character is a possibility and on the table. But we're not going to start adding lots of crazy stuff like at the last minute for the campaign. That's just not possible. And it's not good game design. And we want to deliver you a really good game. And doing things at the last minute in a rush just doesn't work out. So, yes. The answer is yes. All possible. But there are so many characters to do that we can't possibly do them all at once. But we hope that we're making this game. This is an expandable game. So we designed it that way. We knew what we were getting into. Power Rangers has got a very, very broad, deep universe. So we can do lots and lots of stuff, and you guys are going to be part of it. But we don't have any answers about a specific character that we haven't already announced yet today. So just keep giving us feedback. I know everybody's asking about Ivan Ooze. Like, we see Ivan Ooze a lot. We've explored Ivan Ooze. I think Jonathan talked about him a little bit. If we can figure out Ivan Ooze for the future, he's definitely on the list because lots and lots of people are excited about him. So we'll see.
And his design actually holds up pretty well compared to a lot of other like villain designs from that era, right? Like early 90s superhero movies were weird. Ivan Ooze looks great.
Well, and like Scott said, it's just so important that you guys keep telling us that you want this stuff. Like, we're really paying attention. We read every single comment. Multiple people on our team are reading every comment. So keep telling us. We'd love to hear about it.
Yep, for sure. All right. So there, that covers half the questions in chat, probably.
Basically. Next one is a absolutely burning question, all caps, from Alan Wilkinson. Does the Shattered Grid expansion come with a Kronos Megazord token? unless the sixth sword card is a time jet, which would be weird.
So actually, it has seven because all six of the Rangers have their own swords, and there is the Megazord. The current design of the Hyperforce Megazord does not require a token. Its ability is actually more of a global ability. Although we are looking into whether we want to design that more for bigger Megazord sculpt, as we are kind of currently looking into.
You can tell him. Go ahead.
We're looking into more thorough Zord, or exploring the Zords more thoroughly in the game, as the game's original design was heavily focused on the hand-to-hand combat. Zords were more of a secondary sort of power-up system, but we've gotten a lot of feedback from people who really want like a game that features the Zords more heavily, and we absolutely are looking into that. Plus, I mean, yeah, they would look super cool as minis. Yeah. So
there you go. Top men are working on it.
That's right.
Mr. Yellow would like to know if we're going to HasCon next year, and I really hope the answer is yes. I'm working on it.
Yeah, that's a possibility for sure. I don't think Hasbro has told us yet, like, that it's time to sign up or anything, but...
Mm-mm. It's pretty far away.
Yeah.
Next year.
I just want to go just as a fan. I haven't ever been, so...
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. There's also a convention in the UK called SuperPowerCon, which we're also looking into. I don't think anyone from our team is going to go because it's real far away.
What month is it in?
November.
November of this year?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, we're pretty busy. We have so many fun shows that we're going to where we are going to have Power Rangers, though, because we're going to, of course, Rangers Start, but we're also going to New York Comic Con. We're going to be at BGG Con, at PAX Unplugged, at Essen.
Essen in Germany, place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think from the first week of October through the weekend before Thanksgiving, we're on the road all but one or two of those weeks.
And the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. And the weekend after Thanksgiving, we're at PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia. So we need Tommy clones.
That would be nice. Oh, man. Yeah, so there are lots of opportunities to come find us. We're sorry we can't go to all of them. It would be fun.
Yeah. We will have the game at New York Comic Con, PAX Unplugged, and Ranger Stop, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, yeah. For sure.
If you can make it out to any of those, we can play with you. Another Jonathan question, does the Shattered Grid expansion come with a different command center piece, like the Ranger Timeship?
I believe it does. Yeah,
it does now.
I'm pretty sure it's on the list. Like, if it's not, then I gotta talk to Dan about that, because yeah, we have it.
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, like, we're getting it. So.
You guys are very special for learning about that first, because we previously have only announced that we're doing two new location boards, and we had not talked about doing a new command station for that.
Mm. Right. Well, we're always quoting out prices.
Yeah.
Will there be location boards / command center boards for places other than the 1990s Angel Grove?
Yes. Shattered Grid already is going to feature two locations from the Shattered Grid event. They're actually two zones from the Coinless. We're super excited about it. It's going to be the Rebel base, where Zach and Trini basically have their resistance against Lord Drakkon. And we're also going to do one location that's going to be the Zord Graveyard. And I, for one, am super excited to see Dan Mora draw the Zord Graveyard.
That's going to be sweet.
I think it is going to be very cool.
Scott, question for you from Ranger Actors, who has been a real big support on Instagram. Thank you.
Yeah.
He wants to know if we are getting a pledge level that's only the figures.
No, we can't do that.
So, that would make Jonathan so sad.
That's true.
I feel so, yeah, you know, that's so valid.
Yeah, but also it's not even within the scope of our rights. So we're a game company, and we make games, and we have the rights to make Power Rangers games. So we can't just sell individual figures.
We can't sell toys. We can't sell.
Right. Models. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And
like,
why would you not want to play the game? It's so fun.
Like, even Megazord, he's not just a figure. Like, he comes with cards in the box. Like, he's a game piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Bulk and Skull are being mentioned. That's exciting for reasons.
Yeah, we think that they're neat too.
Yeah.
We have ideas. Don't worry.
Yep.
They're on the list.
They are on the list.
Any chance we can get Megazord and other Zord decks in a future expansion?
Yeah, there is a chance. There's absolutely a chance. And essentially, a lot of content that we want to do, we want to do as much content as we can, and a lot of these ideas are really great. I think the priority for me is just they have to enhance the game, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to do them just to do them. We want to do them in a way that makes the game stronger, makes the game more interesting, improves the options. So, you know, if we're going to do like more Zords, more Rangers, whatever, each of them should fulfill an interesting niche or provide an interesting look into that character or introduce a cool new mechanic. On that front, all of these things take testing. All of these things take iteration, and committing to any one of them might be is folly. Like, I've done a Kickstarter before where I was like, yes, we'll absolutely do this or that. And then it turns out this or that doesn't make the game better. It just makes the game more bloated or more crowded or just harder to set up even sometimes. And that is not something we are interested in doing for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people don't realize that we've been working on this game for, you know, a little bit less than a year, but mm-hmm. it's been in development for a long time. And it's always interesting. Like, I've been through this on lots and lots of games in the past where your player base goes, oh, you guys should do this or you guys should do that. And a lot of times we've done that. We tried it and it's like, yeah, we did that for like a month and it didn't work or it didn't do what we wanted it to do or it wasn't fun or it slowed down the game, like Jonathan said. Like very early on, one of the earlier iterations of the game, right, you started off as like kind of in your street clothes, mm-hmm. right, as the characters, and before you could morph, and it kind of just dragged the game. Right.
So, you had to learn almost a separate kit, and then just when you were getting used to it, you would have to switch gears to this like other character ability kit that was
right.
And like the street clothes characters didn't tend to have powers. A couple of series they do actually have superpowers, but it was a whole thing, and that was it just didn't suit the game's flow, right? We wanted to make sure that the moment to moment gameplay is strong throughout.
Right. We wanted to jump into the action, and that's where the fun was. And the game's already a pretty meaty game. There's a lot to do, and it's, you know, this is not a 20-minute filler game. So,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we've had several people
at work. We'd be done by now.
Yeah, no kidding. We've had a lot of people asking how many, not in this chat, but in general, like how many Rangers you can play with, and they really want to play with all of them because they're all super fun, or they want to play with seven or whatever. And again, we've tried that, and it just slowed the game down a lot. So you can do that, but it's not necessarily better.
Yeah.
And we won't have rules for that because we don't want to encourage people to do something that's not fun.
I'm sure right. The BGG community will likely create a rule set for, you know, the 12 Ranger game. I've seen people do like crazy things where other IPs, like with Star Wars, right, you do like you do an Armada game and then each of the Starfighter battles and the Armada game are solved through an X-Wing game, which is then transitioned to like Imperial Assault game.
Right, those are fun weekends, right? That's a weekend long. We're just going to play through all these different things and dig into it, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you can do that with Power Rangers too, but it's not the common experience that we can put in a box like that. Yeah. All right, what else we got, Danny?
Randy.
No, I was going to say all the questions.
Yeah, okay. The questions master. Randy Z. Ochoa would like to know if we can get a color guide for when we paint our own miniatures.
What a wonderful question.
So we've discussed that, and it's something that we would like to do.
So in case you don't know, we actually have Terry, a professional painter, is going to help us out and do a live painting tutorial on Kickstarter on Friday at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And she already has a list of the paints she'll be using during that video tutorial, and also things like what paint brushes to use, where you can get them, everything you would really need to know to get started. And so if you've never painted anything ever before, you can watch that video and she'll give you a really good head start on it. And surprisingly, like, I'm the worst artist ever. These guys have seen my sketches and they're amazingly bad for like a four-year-old. But I actually can paint because a lot of these techniques are relatively easy. But I think you're right, having a list of what colors to use for what different rangers and what different villains is really helpful. So we will be working on that.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it's like, I'm not an artistic person at all. My stick figures don't look like stick figures, but I've learned how to paint miniatures. It's you can learn techniques and actually be pretty good. So, all right.
Question on Twitter that's pertinent. Which figures is Terry going to be painting? Do you know?
Oh, I was actually going to announce this in my update tomorrow. But since you guys are here and you're very special, we can spoil that. So she is going to be doing the pumpkin wrapper.
Yes.
Good one.
Yes.
It is a good one. I think there's a lot of really good things about that figure. One of them is that it's actually kind of big. Like, it's not huge compared to our other ones or anything, but in general, our figures are kind of big, which makes them easier to paint. That one also has a lot of little crevices. When you think about a pumpkin, it's got sort of those stripes in it. And so there's some really easy techniques you can use to make those really stand out and make the figure look really cool. So she'll be talking about that in her video. Yeah. That it's character, a really good one for that.
Yeah. That character also has a really bad case of creepy face.
Like his eternal
gourd son.
Well, and it's fall. He's appropriate. Like, get into the holiday spirit.
Oh, man.
Do we have plans to make a tournament format?
We might. Maybe events. I don't know about tournaments. But we might do some in-store events and that sort of thing. Tournaments and events are not the same thing. It's a cooperative game. We want it to be fun and social. We don't want to create crazy, high pressure organized play.
We have a lot of experience with organized play. Like, Scott Gata, you've run so many big TCG events. It's amazing. I've done a lot of TCG stuff. Like, I was the regional judge manager for Magic in my region. So we have a lot of experience there and we have seen what works and what doesn't work. And for cooperative games, you're there to have fun. And making it a tournament sometimes negates the fun.
Yeah, but events might be fun.
Oh yeah, we could definitely do some fun events.
Next one. Do you think we'll have a finished playable game by Origins?
Yeah. Finished play by Origins of next year?
Yeah.
The game will be in a warehouse by Origins of next year.
Bring it to Origins and play.
Yeah.
So I mean, officially we've announced July as our date, but the way that shipping and releases and all that kind of stuff works, it really should actually be in the States by then.
Yeah. Usually,
you know, transporting heavy boxes is an entire industry, really. We'll have some for Origins.
Yeah. No, that's the plan. We'd like to actually preview it there and then, you know, the backers get it. If we can beat our schedules, you know, we'll deliver it sooner, but we don't want to make promises that we can't keep. We'd rather under promise and over deliver. So we're really on schedule. Like the factories are going to be cutting molds, steel molds for figures. Like now we've given them the green light on a ton of figures to start cutting the molds and we'll start seeing mold shots in October. So just takes them about a month or 6 weeks to cut molds and get them right. And then we'll start seeing samples out of the molds that are actually really real samples cast out of the molds, as opposed to what we've been showing are digitally printed and quick printed samples, which they look amazing. And they're never anywhere near as good as the real thing out of a steel mold. So we're great. Like I said, we've been working on this game for almost a year before you guys even knew about it.
Well, even in January, you and Leisha, our production manager, went to China and actually looked at factories to make sure that they were both good enough to make this game, that they were really good to the people working there, that they were economically and environmentally friendly. You guys really did your research on that. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, we spent 2 weeks in China doing that, and we'll probably be going back to China, in the next 3 or 4 months. to again kind of see this and another project that we're working on, to kind of see that stuff coming out the door. So before, and it's to do, you know, quality checks and all that. So yeah, we're good. June. Woo, that's scary. Okay, we have a playable game now.
Yeah. I mean, time flew so fast to get here too. Every time you say like we've been working on it for all this year, I'm like, oh God, we have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That flies when you're having fun.
Jonathan's like, oh, I had to put up with Scott for a year.
Oh man.
Whatever.
All right, we are getting a lot of questions about Ivan Hughes.
Right. Yeah, he's a guy.
Ivan.
The questions involve the rights.
Yeah, I mean, he's a possibility. But we'll see if we can do him down the road.
Yeah, generally, his story arc is not canon to the main Power Rangers like plot line. Like they kind of the story of how the Rangers get their ninja powers is done differently in the show proper. And primarily, our focus has been the show and the comics. And the comics are also heavily based on the show. It was like a formative experience for me to watch Ivan Ooze just chew scenery in that movie. But we'll see. Like, we definitely would like to, but it's we'll see. We have various priorities on the list, and it's a calculation to decide what comes out and when. But hey, the more people ask, the more we're like, maybe we should do the thing.
Like I said, top men are working on it. And women.
Who are these top men? I'm certainly not one of those.
Sarah, I have a question for you.
I love questions.
What size card sleeves will fit this game?
Standard American board game card sleeves. They're the same ones that fit like most of the regular standard TCGs too, like Magic. They're the same card size.
Yeah.
Poker size. Yeah. So they're cool. If you wander into a store with your eyes closed and you accidentally touch some sleeves, they will probably fit this game. Although there are the bigger Ranger cards, and so those ones are tarot size. So if you go to a store, ask them for tarot size sleeves, because they're actually becoming pretty common now, because several board games are using them.
I think the Fantasy Flight Games orange size sleeves will definitely fit, which are, I think they're sized for 70 by 120 millimeters.
Those are the tarot-sized ones. Yeah,
those are the Zords and the Ranger card, and the Ranger character cards are used that size.
Yeah.
Although you're probably not going to be shuffling them because everybody just gets their character. So
The Zords are put in a deck, but like there's it's a deck of like six.
Right.
All the other cards in the game are poker-sized. I think
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also. Related to that question, in case you were thinking, I answered this on the campaign today. We do make the trays. If there's a well to hold cards, we make the well large enough to hold sleeved cards. That's just what we do. Just assume it's going to happen. We'll assume that it's going to happen, and our designers will make it so.
And we do tons of checks too, before anything goes out. We'll actually get a physical copy of the game and put sleeves on it and try it out to make sure it works.
Yeah.
We did that with another game this week.
We did. All right.
Can we talk about how expansions are going to be done in the future? So similar to other expansions, or maybe like what happens in Star Wars Imperial Assault?
I don't know what other expansions, but
the ones that we've done,
we're doing now. Yeah. I mean, really the sky's the limit. We're not going to hold ourselves to any rules. If we think something like the way we did Shattered Grid makes sense and we want to do a big box expansion that focuses on like a specific storyline or theme, we'll do that. Or we also have the option to do smaller stuff like we did the villain pack, right? Villain pack number one. We give you four new villains and you can use them in the games. They'll work with anything. So,
yeah. I mean, if we need to, if the only way to get Zeo Gold into the game is putting him in a single individual package, I will lobby for that. But, whatever works best for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're not going to, at least right now, we're not going to, paint ourselves into a corner and limit ourselves. So, and because this is such a story driven game and there's so many cool themes, we want to give ourselves the flexibility to do what we think is the best fit.
Because right now we have basically 5 different expansion type items and 4 different boxes. So right. We've already shown that like we just are going to make the best thing for what makes most sense at the time with the figures. And also for like Clank, we've made lots of expansions for Clank. And then just the most recent expansion we did, we decided to do a totally different format. So even though we have 3 other products in the same format, we did a new one that was just totally different.
Yeah,
just because it made the most sense.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of questions in chat. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
While I'm finding.
Right, we just hit 385.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. Oh, right. My dog is so excited now. What's happening?
Jonathan, can you tell us how allies like Alpha 5 will work?
So right now the way Alpha 5 works, and you know, he's still being tested, so this is subject to some minor changes, but there are 2 ways you can play him. He could be played just as a standard hero with a couple of unique rules in that he doesn't leave the command center. Instead, he is actually able to provide support for Rangers in any location. He can't perform direct attacks though, but he can provide them support cards and, you know, help them recover and do all sorts of sundry, background stuff. He would be like the most dedicated healer type character in the game. Unlike other characters, like the game doesn't really follow this traditional class structure, but Alpha would be as close to a pure support as we might get. There's also going to be a mode where you can use Alpha as a automated like AI character that just kind of sends cards to players to help them out without having to be controlled by an individual player. I think the idea for Alpha is that he can be used as, say, if you want to be kind of a host for your players and you have like a big group and you want them to kind of enjoy the game, but you don't want to be quarterbacking too much, you can then just kind of help them out in whatever situation they're in without, hogging any spotlight from the game. Alternatively, a player who might not be as familiar with some of the nuances of tactical minis play might want to take on this role just because they can always do something nice for their friends and they don't have to worry too much about the game, the positioning mechanics. We want to try and make the Alpha character really versatile and fun, but also true to this tiny I spouting robot who is mostly helpful.
Danny, do it.
No, I can't do it on command. I'll do it.
So people don't know that Danny, during Power Morphicon weekend, spent the whole weekend, every time something would happen, she would do an Alpha 5 imitation.
It was amazing.
It's perfect. Yeah. The perfect
it's
reaction.
Pretty good. Yeah, no, it was good. Now you need to share that with everybody. Spontaneously when the mood strikes.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Someone asks a really difficult question.
Huh?
Someone asks a really difficult question.
Ay. That wasn't it. I didn't do the voice. I'm gearing up. all right. Next question. Moving on. Jonathan, what challenges did you face while making this a cooperative game versus having one player control all of the enemies?
Co-op games are one of the hardest things to design, just flat out, right? I've said in some other interviews that they've been something kind of a bugbear for me because I've always loved them, but I've always been a bit leery about trying to start designing one because they are such an intimidating prospect of making a system that is as interesting as playing against a player, but, not piloted by cards and your own game design. Took a lot of iteration and a lot of time to get there, but I think it was good work focusing on creating an interesting combat puzzle. I actually took a lot of inspiration from games, from turn-based RPGs like Grandia or like Chrono Cross to create our combat system. I think that it's not really like a menu-based combat necessarily, but it does provide, you have this good sense of what the layout of the battlefield is, what the combat sequence is going to be, and then you're just gauging priorities. And I think that system came together easier than I thought it would. And from there, I think for me, the hardest thing is balancing numbers, right? Like, the game needs to be so finely tuned to provide an appropriate challenge and to feel threatening without being overwhelming and without being unwinnable. And so that is always very hard. I think another big challenge really is making sure that every Ranger ability feels good to play. there are a lot of mechanics that are very cool and very fun and very exciting, but aren't very exciting mechanically or systemically or from a design point of view, but are hard to do physically. Like a lot of systems that are like, for the rest of this battle, X thing happens, and you just have to remember that, right? Or just small things that require you to, say, fiddle with too many tokens or to remember like what's on the opposite side of a die or any number of... There's a lot of cool systems that, say, computers can do really well, but would be tedious to perform in a physical space. And that kind of design is another thing that, you know, you have to be really constantly aware of from this point, from this, in a game like this, particularly when there's so many moving parts. Because I want the game to be deep and good, but I also want it to be approachable. So, yeah, there's been some conflicting needs, we'll say, when it comes to the design, but I'm incredibly proud of how it's been coming together, and everyone on the team who's been helping us with the testing and helping us with ideas has been great. I can honestly say this is one of the designs I'm most proud of anything I've made. So that was a bit rambly. I don't know if that was... yeah.
Cool.
That was helpful. I don't know.
I have another question for you, speaking of rambling. Can you tell us more about the command center, the double-sided?
All right. So the one of the big things that we got from very early on about the command center, about the idea of the command center, is that players kind of, it was designed to be a safe haven for the players and to be like, okay, Angel Grove is under attack and you regroup at the command center to recover. And that's cool. But some players were like, man, you know, man, wouldn't it be scary if the command center came under attack? And people would be like, oh, thank goodness. And, you know, and I'd be like, oh, it can't. And they're like, oh, thank goodness. Man, that sure would be scary. And I'd be like, huh, it sure would be scary. So the alternate command center side is actually a challenge mode, which turns the command center into a location where battles can happen. The way the panic system works is that when enemies overflow off of the standard locations, they'll overflow into other zones. In this system, they now overflow directly into the command center. And while they're there, you cannot use the many of the command center's bonuses, that is to say, the ability to recover fully, and you have to go back to the center to fight them off before you can use it to heal. In this mode also, there is going to be the possibility of enemy monsters or masters appearing on the command center and threatening it even more directly, and it basically just provides another zone to defend. It is one of the hardest modes in the game at current, and currently we're, you know, focusing on making sure that it does not snowball too quickly into being unwinnable, but it is currently incredibly intense and also just feels very dramatic when it's like, oh god, the boss has spawned right in the center of the table and the Rangers have to kind of come together to save what is basically, you know, your home base, right? And so, yeah, we're going to do a full update on kind of how that whole system is gonna work, but that's, I suppose, a good sneak preview given what we've just unlocked. Hopefully that is exciting, if not terrifying for you guys.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone who's played it when I mentioned this, they're like, what?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what you want for the, you know, one of the harder modes of the game. We want to make sure that the game is there for you to, it's fun, but it is scary.
Yeah, it should be a challenge.
We should play it in that mode next time we play chess.
We sure will. Oh, man. I mean, the groups I've already got cooking with it, they've been, I think out of all the tests we've done, they've won once.
Wow.
With the mode. So we're tweaking it, right? Like, and it's been close, but yeah, that one win, they were ecstatic.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they're satisfied.
Yeah.
We have a question. Interesting game. Looks like a nice mashup between tower defense and card combat. Very true. Will the repetitive waves and small map size, since there's only four tiles, get repetitive? What did we do to get rid of the sameness?
So, it's not a tactical minis game, right? It's not about the map necessarily. We will have, each zone will have unique mechanics if you do the advanced side. But even at the base level, which is how we've done most of our playtesting, the engagement actually comes from the types of minions that are there and the different actions that they can perform. Every single enemy in that location uses their combat deck, which provides different mechanics. And every time you initiate a battle in a location, you'll see, like, so there's like three super putties and two regular putties or what have you, whichever ones you're fighting, will lay out a random selection of cards from their action pool. Each of those cards have a different effect on the battlefield, or will have a different unique ability, or will affect other cards in their own way. So rangers will be prioritizing, making decisions, and every time those get laid out, it's a different puzzle. It's a different scenario that will interact differently with whatever cards you currently have in your hand. Essentially, it's like, does like a game like Magic the Gathering get repetitive because there isn't, you know, different terrain, like because there isn't different terrain, right? Like, the card combat is designed so that the abstraction actually helps us make more variety without having to just have every conflict be resolved by range calculations or gauging line of sight. Instead, it's about which targets you prioritize and what assets you have and what resources you want to spend to take them out.
We played so many games of this at Power Morphicon, and the sameness of it never even occurred to me. We played with hundreds of people, and every game that I played with people was totally different. It was amazing, actually.
Well, the cool thing, too, is every time you play a different ranger, it's like playing a slightly different game, just because what I get to do is different. And then, right, like in TCG terms, like, the combos are different too, depending on what other rangers I'm fighting with at the same site. So I might be fighting a blue ranger with a black ranger, and we can do different things. But then when I'm, maybe the black ranger's not with me and I've got the red and the pink with me, it just changes, right? Mm-hmm. So the experience is different, and the way we can interact with each other and support each other or help each other or suck up damage for the others or whatever it is, it just changes. So the ranger variability is, I think, really where that customization is going to be fun. And once we start introducing more rangers,
that's going to
be really cool, right? Because you can design your team. So you can design it thematically and say, well, I just want these guys to play together because I like them. But you can also look at the team and look at their abilities and say, well, we're going to play a hard game with the command center tile flipped over. And we think that we should play with these rangers, and this is the optimum team to go in. So it, you know, there's that meta game before you even play the game that's really fun.
We've done a couple of tests with, like, say, the Hyperforce and the Mighty Morphin teams kind of mixed and matched, where it's like, okay, what if all of, like, all the Rangers are, like, hardcore damage dealers? How does that feel? Is that, like, because we want to make sure as many of these team iterations are viable as possible as well. So, like, you're going to have to play really differently if there's no one who's got good defensive abilities. And you basically have to finish every fight as quickly as possible and, like, blitz down enemies. But it is doable. Meanwhile, a lot of the more defensive teams can turn these fights into kind of battles of attrition and just maintain their energy levels and wipe zones when they take out monsters and stuff like that. Like, there's, the different team combos, I'm super excited to see what players are into and how the different rangers interact. Because there's already enough that, like, I haven't seen every combination of, like, a five ranger team.
Right.
You know, like, there's a lot of different iterations.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. But this is that spider web of design that happens in CCGs a lot. So I have a lot of experience there. Every time we introduce a new ranger team, it's not just testing that ranger team and how they work together. We also have to think about how they're going to work with the other rangers that we've already given you. It's not this insurmountable thing, but it's definitely something that we have to test and think about, because we don't want to give you something that we don't want to make the game not a fun experience and almost too easy. Because one of the challenges of the co-op game is the puzzle, right? Like, how do we beat this? How do we overcome these challenges? So that's one of the reasons why testing and iterating on design is very, very important. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of design and playtesting and changes to the game. We mentioned that we'd made some changes since Power Morphicon last weekend. People in chat are confused by our use of guard, because that's a new term.
Right. So guard is a new term. It's basically just replacing the taunt term. Originally, a lot of enemy cards have a mechanic called taunt, which means that you have to target, or you can't target enemies adjacent to them. Similar to how the taunt mechanic works in Hearthstone, or in even, I think, it is a very similar mechanic used in Keyforge as well, of taunting figures kind of protect their allies. That gamers immediately understood that term from, like, you know, game perspective, like in World of Warcraft and all that. But non-gamers were kind of confused by it. And so we were like, yeah, you know, honestly, like that was my own bias as a gamer showing through in how I was using the terminology. So effectively that term is just replaced by the term guard, which is a little more thematic and a little clearer about what the card does. So guard cards, guard cards that are adjacent to them.
Right. It's a bit more intuitive.
Yeah. That's just the, it's just a change in the name of a keyword.
Yeah.
Sorry if that was confusing. Cause these are things that shake out over testing. Most of the things that we're changing these days are not big sweeping core system stuff, but just like very little, like, you know, this piece of language doesn't quite work. Oh, this could imply this or that. We should make sure that's clear or that sort of stuff. So, Or just, you know, changing certain abilities. They're like, this doesn't really fit this Ranger's kit. Maybe we want to trade it with this other Ranger's ability.
Yeah, we've changed 2 Rangers since PowerMorphicon.
Yeah, Zach and Trini have seen the most changes since PowerMorphicon. Kimberly had a card that wasn't played very much. Like we saw in a lot of the demos, players were just confused as to how to use it. So we swapped it out with something else that was a little more intuitive and a little more active that feels more appropriate to her. Zach and Trini also have seen some of their mechanics modified to suit their niche a little better and also to give them a little more excitement. Like Zach's original ability was that every time he defeated an enemy, he would generate an energy.
That would be real bad in the inverse. Use an energy, gain an enemy.
Yeah.
Nope.
I just want to make sure this game doesn't have too many tongue twisters, except when it comes to pumpkin wrappers cards. like that was his old ability, and it was fine. It worked okay mechanically, but it didn't feel very exciting. And players would often forget to use it because it wasn't that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so now his ability is actually a much more active one that will increase the puzzle, where he can actually move a damage token from an enemy to another one, which allows him, fits his niche, where he's kind of the area of effect character. He's the one who's good at fighting swarms of putties with just big axe swings and sweeping attacks. And this allows him to sort of spread his damage out and to make sure that certain targets that may not be targetable because, say, they're near an enemy guard can be taken out using his ability. And it just interacts better with other characters' powers, too. Like, he can set enemies up to be taken out by Trini's precise strike, or he can maneuver one of he can maneuver damage token onto an enemy that Kimberly's already tagged. He's got options now that I think are much more exciting than what he had before. There's a sneak peek into the inside baseball of making a complicated co-op card game.
We are almost out of time, so let's ask one of the most important questions, which is, what is everyone's favorite Ranger to play as?
Oh.
To play as. I didn't ask the even harder question, which is just, what's your favorite Ranger? We're limited to 5 right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, typically like...
Not really.
I've only played with 5.
You're limited.
The Morphin team. Like, we got Shattered Grid, we got 2 Tommies.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Oh, man.
So I've only played with the original 5, and of those, I really actually like the Pink Ranger, even though that's not my favorite color in the world. I really like the way that Kimberly played, because she could go to a location and be helping, but then she could also shoot something in another location and take care of something a little farther away. So I just, mechanically, I thought she was really fun to play.
Yeah.
What about you, Scott?
So I've liked playing Billy, soaking up damage and getting that going, but I've liked playing Kim, because for the same reasons, kind of, but after the other night's playtest, you were playing Trini.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
Yeah, and after seeing what she can do now, I really want to play. I haven't played the new Trini, so I really want to play that. Like, I've had fun playing all of the ones that I like. Probably my least favorite, and not really because his gameplay is bad at all, is just the Red Ranger. I just kind of like the other guys, like.
Red Ranger's kind of the most straightforward, right?
He is, right. And I like kind of like more of the puzzle. So, but he's really good, but right. Yeah, he's more straightforward. I like the kind of complexity, I think, of some of the other guys.
Yeah.
Red Ranger's support, so he'll buff up everyone else, give you extra dice, rerolls. He'll let you play extra cards. So as Trini, I could play multiple cards in a row. so we had like four turns strung together before an enemy attacked. It was awesome. That was
terrifying. And it burned through a lot of cards, though. But yeah, like you...
Yeah. We had to go back to the command center quite often.
Well, and that was your first time playing kind of the tweaked...
The upgrading.
Yeah. Yeah, and you figured it out. Like that's the thing. Each of the Rangers are their own little puzzle, and figuring out the optimum way to play them is a lot of the fun. Like, you're most likely going to play the game the first couple times and still just trying to figure out the right way to kind of like use and play that Ranger. And then the next step is figuring out how to use and play that Ranger in relation to the other Rangers. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I like enjoy that a lot. I think it's really fun. You know, that's on top of you actually have to defeat all the bad guys before they kill you and wipe out Angel Grove. So there's a lot of layers. It's pretty sweet.
So for me, hey, I finally get a chance to do this thing.
Hey.
I might be biased because the Black Ranger is my favorite Ranger, but also it is my favorite character to play. I think his area of effect attacks are always very satisfying for me.
Yeah.
Like, his Power Axe is one of the only cards in the game that can take out three enemies at once. If it's set up well and, like, there's even a little bit of damage on two guys next to your main target, you can usually do a huge sweeping hit. And I'm one of those players who loves to drop giant bombs in card games. So, I will spend my entire game losing until I just play a card that just wipes the board. And then probably still lose, but you know, have a good time in that moment. But yeah, no, I really love playing Zach right now, particularly now that I've given him this new ability. I'm really working on getting him right, just because it would make me personally very sad if I flubbed designing the Black Ranger.
I see how it is, playing favorites.
Yeah, I love all my Rangers. It's just really important to me that this particular Ranger is my favorite, and
yep.
No, but I like Black Ranger.
So, did you guys see the comment in chat that David Fielding has backed the campaign?
Nice,
Zordon. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's super cool.
I must have missed that. I guess he tweeted about it. That's really neat.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
you
have to make a mini for him?
Oh, God.
We've talked about Zordon. We won't get into that now.
Yeah.
We have thoughts.
We're not saying no.
No, we're not saying no.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that I don't think there's anything that we've discussed where we're like, no, like that's just not a character or something that has no possibility.
I mean, some people were like, oh, can you do like they did a crossover with Ninja Turtles? And it's like, we don't have those rights.
Sure.
But
right. Yeah, just Ninja Turtles is a different license. We can't make Ninja Turtle things and put them in a Power Rangers box. It doesn't work that way.
That sort of stuff. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. We would if we could.
Yeah, for sure. Just,
Great.
Oh, man, you want to hear something exciting? We are only three people away from having 2,000 backers. So if any three of you in chat would like to go and back the campaign... You could be number 2,000.
Ooh.
That'd be fun. Because you get to see your backer number.
What's really cool is I can see who it is. We can go into the dashboard and see.
It's true. And
call them out in the comments section.
We could. Oh, we're running out of time.
Oh, we only have 1 minute left.
Make it happen. Go Power Rangers.
All right. Any last minute questions that we need to squeeze in, Danny?
Yeah, make sure it's not something I have to answer.
I've seen a couple questions about revealing any secret stretch goals.
We've already revealed our big secret, which was, we've revealed so many weird things that weren't even in the initial campaign. We kind of gave you guys Alpha 5. We gave you Cyclopsis. hey, by the way, here's this big dude. Villain pack we just announced the other day. I think we've exhausted most of our surprises for now. So
that's just being nice to me, because every time he adds new things to the campaign, I have to update everything and then ask for new artwork. And...
Right.
I told
the team today that the graphic designers have a Scott Voodoo doll. that they're constantly poking with pins. And that might be true because I've had a headache. So
possible.
But so like right now the focus is let's unlock Goldar and kind of complete this first wave of releases. And then we're off to the races and get everything made and deliver it to you guys. And then we're going to do that survey and see what team that you want us to make. And we're going to work on that team plus the other things that we kind of have in the works for the second wave that will be after the first wave delivers to you guys. So, you know, we can't drown you in releases either. And, you know, like Jonathan said, it takes time. We've been working on everything that you've seen here. We've been working on for close to a year. You know, and then there's some new things that we got your feedback throughout the campaign and we added, like Alpha 5 kind of came about, you know, we pulled the trigger on him because everybody was like, where's Alpha 5? And we're like, we kind of agree. We need Alpha 5. So we had ideas for him and then we focused on him. And
like, I had that design doc kind of sitting in, like, I'm not going to say languishing, but it was like on the side. Because we were like, all right, let's, you know, focus on getting the core game made. And then when enough people were like Alpha 5, I was like, well, better pop that open again and like get that back into the testing rotation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, early on when we started the project, like we talked about lots of different possibilities and directions that we could go. So we've got lots of things, you know, partially fleshed out and in various stages of completion. So, I think right now the big pushes were in the last week. Let's get to Goldar and unlock all that other stuff. We gave you guys all sorts of really cool stuff, so we hope that you like it. And then it's off to the survey and start working on that new team. That's what I'm kind of excited about now, is who's the next team. Because I want to play these other Rangers and mix them in with the other teams that we're already getting.
I think we have one more team to add to that spreadsheet, Scott.
Yeah.
I think I know what it is.
What team?
Team Yower Rangers.
Yeah, you just stop. That's enough out of you.
I saw that coming from a mile away.
Yeah, thanks. The last. So we're gonna have a rule in the future: no phones at the playtest table anymore. Taking ninja-ing pictures of me. And
it's
then
my job.
Okay. I think we'll do something with Bulk and Skull before we do the Meower Rangers.
So they're definitely happening.
I mean, you say that now.
The blasphemy.
Yeah, don't give Jonathan any ideas either.
Alrighty, so we are officially out of time. No more questions, but if you're watching later, you have questions, you can find us on the Kickstarter page or in our Heroes of the Grid Facebook group. We are on there all day long answering questions.
Yep. All right. Are we done? Is there anything else you need to cover?
I don't think so.
No? Are you gonna so Sarah brought us in. You gonna close us out with a aye, aye, aye?
No, you put pressure on me. You have to come to Ranger Stop to hear me do my Alpha 5 impression.
Yep, you'll definitely be stressed enough.
Perfect. Thank you all so much for joining us. This was super fun.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. We'll see you in the comments.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.